Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, June 27th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Mayor Kara Spencer's win in April left open a seat on the Board of Aldermen to represent what one candidate calls the most important ward in the city.
It has not only our downtown core, but a lot of our historic neighborhoods.
You'll hear from five people looking to fill the 8th Ward seat. That's coming up on The Gateway. Also, as they prepare for a benefit concert on Sunday, members of the In Unison Chorus say singing sacred music helps them get through the aftermath of the May 16th tornado.
Music heals. Music binds us together. Music gives us a place to deposit our pain, but it also gives us a place to celebrate those things that we have in common.
That story also is coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis County seniors who are eligible to freeze their property taxes will have to get their applications submitted by Monday. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, the county council yesterday failed to extend the deadline.
The legislation proposed by Republican Councilman Dennis Hancock of Fenton would have given seniors until July 31st to get their paperwork submitted, but it failed to secure enough votes at a special meeting. Republican Mark Harder of Baldwin says he did not want a longer application period to make it harder for the Department of Revenue to meet other deadlines.
There's a lot of dominoes that need to fall between now and October when the bills start going out.
The Department of Revenue will review applications and follow up by September 15th. More than 70,000 seniors have already applied for the freeze. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she's disappointed in St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. Spencer's comments come a day after Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey filed a writ to remove the sheriff, listing six accusations against him. They include nepotism, unlawful detainment, and failure to responsibly handle finances. Spencer says she's lost confidence in his ability to lead the office.
Those actions are serious. They shouldn't be handled politically. But again, this one right now is in the courts, and we're going to see how this plays out.
Montgomery said earlier this week that he would not step down and would fight the allegations in court. Mayor Spencer is also encouraging St. Louis residents impacted by the May 16th tornado to apply for disaster aid as soon as possible. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports.
Since FEMA arrived in St. Louis, $17 million of direct aid has been provided to about 3,000 residents. Spencer says this is just the beginning.
We're really encouraging anybody and everybody who's been impacted to apply to FEMA. It's also helping us get a good handle of how many people have been impacted by the tornado.
The city has not been able to identify the exact number of people affected by the storm, but the mayor estimates that it is in the tens of thousands. Those impacted can apply for disaster aid online at disasterassistance.gov or by calling 1-800-621-3362. The deadline to apply is August 11th. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey will defend the St. Louis Police Department against some civil litigation. Since the state board is now overseeing the city police department, Bailey's office is now responsible for defending the law enforcement agency against employment discrimination claims and alleged civil rights violations. Bailey noted his office already does similar work for the Kansas City Police Department, which is also governed by a gubernatorial board.
We want our police officers to know they have predictable, consistent, competent civil representation from the state, and that's what I seek to provide.
Bailey's office won't represent officers accused of criminal offenses. U.S. Senate Republicans seeking to curb a critical tax that helps fund Missouri's Medicaid program were dealt a major blow yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on why the proposal alarmed healthcare leaders.
Republican senators wanted a 3.5% cap for medical provider taxes on hospitals, nursing homes, and pharmacies. But the Senate parliamentarian ruled that plan would need 60 votes, which could mean it may not make it into a major budgetary package. Craig Thompson is the president and CEO of Golden Valley Memorial Healthcare in Clinton, Missouri. If the Senate plan ultimately goes through, it could mean his hospital sees less money for treating Medicaid patients.
It makes it harder and harder for us to provide those services and stay viable.
It's unclear if Republican senators will try to rewrite the medical provider tax plan. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Several public schools in North St. Louis, including Sumner High School, were damaged during last month's tornado. Students will attend other schools this fall, and Sumner alumni are worried that the 150-year-old school may never reopen. Over the years, the school has faced enrollment issues and potential closure. It also needed repairs, and the tornado made things worse. Now there's significant roof damage. Kim Garrett is the high school's Alumni Association president. She hopes the district doesn't use the damage as a way to shutter the school.
We're going to fight to keep our school open because the students are doing great things at Sumner High School. And we want to continue our proud tradition of excellence.
District officials say they plan to reopen Sumner but have no timeline for when repairs will be done. Voters in St. Louis's 8th Ward will go to the polls Tuesday to select their new representative at the Board of Aldermen. The seat has been vacant since April when Kara Spencer was sworn in as mayor. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has more on the five candidates seeking to replace her.
Business analyst and artist Shedrick Kelly filed for his third aldermanic run on April 9th, the day after Spencer's win.
I knew that I had to. It was a duty. I'm now the Democratic committee man. And just doing more work with voter registration and things like that in and around the city, I just felt like it was only right that I continue that work at City Hall.
Jamie Cox Antwi also wasted no time getting into the race for the open seat, submitting her paperwork on April 11th. Cox Antwi, who works in financing for projects like low-income housing, calls the 8th Ward the most important in the city.
It has not only our downtown core, but a lot of our historic neighborhoods. And for me, those issues look like making sure that people are able to live and thrive in some of our most historic neighborhoods.
It took wireless network engineer Cam McCarty until late May to decide to launch his campaign. But he says a race to fill an open seat for 2 years was an opportunity he would not pass up.
I don't think that there's any harm or anything the city would be losing by giving me a shot to show what I can actually do.
McCarty and Cox Antwi both made unsuccessful runs for state representative in 2024. Two political newcomers are also in the race, photographer Alicia Hoyt and retired accountant Jim Dallas. Dallas is running a campaign that echoes themes heard in March and April.
The main issues is getting back to basics. Start with the small things, getting the potholes filled, make sure that the trash collection is picked up consistently across the ward. There's also a lot of drag racing that goes on.
Pedestrian safety motivated Hoyt to enter politics.
People need to feel safe walking their kids down the street to the park or the ice cream shop. We live in extremely walkable, beautiful neighborhoods, but we're bisected by Gravois, and it's not safe to walk across Gravois.
The 8th Ward stretches from Belle Reve Park in the south to the Cotton Belt Building on the riverfront in the north. It includes the Soulard, Benton Park, and Lafayette Square neighborhoods and shares the city's downtown with the 14th Ward. The candidates all agree that downtown's revival will require help from the city, but Hoyt says the rest of the ward should not be forgotten.
We have so many incredible festivals and small businesses, and I think that a balance of those things would serve the city well.
And Cox Antwi says any development, whether in downtown or elsewhere in the ward, should always keep the community in mind.
I think it's really important when the city has resources available that they work on projects that can be holistically beneficial to the neighborhoods around it.
The May 16th tornado that killed 5 people and caused more than $1 billion worth of damage has upended the conversation around how to allocate the $298 million in RAM settlement money. Both Cox Antwi and Hoyt say the city needs to follow the recommendations of a survey. It found residents wanted the city to focus on water mains, traffic calming, and boosting pay for city workers. Dallas says the city needs to resist the urge to spend the entire amount all at once.
I think we need to take the RAM settlement and spread it out over 5 to 6 years, setting aside for emergencies and for budgetary shortfalls.
McCarty agrees.
It's just like budgeting your checkbook at home. You save for retirement. I don't think we need to be blowing this money on random projects.
Kelly wants to make sure the needs of the city's youth are part of the conversation.
I don't mean necessarily like you know, go build a new amusement park type level, but just something simple like programs that would get them involved, like learn some computer programming or things like that.
Absentee voting is already underway. The polls open at 6 a.m. July 1st. The winner will serve until 2027. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that report. The May 16th tornado damaged 9 churches in North St. Louis, whose members sing in the In Unison Chorus, the St. Louis Symphony back group that showcases work by Black composers. On Sunday, In Unison will join with the SLSO and its symphony chorus for a concert to benefit tornado survivors. Before a rehearsal this week, 3 In Unison members described how the tornado affected them and how singing sacred music has helped them get through the ordeal.
Music heals. Music binds us together. Music gives us a place to deposit our pain, but it also gives us a place to celebrate with joy those things that we have in common. My name is Gwendolyn Wesley. I am one of the charter members of the In Unison Chorus. In times of struggle or whatever, you can pull those songs out of your spirit, out of your soul, and those songs help you keep going. I retired a few years ago, but this is an opportunity to be part of something that's going to help the communities. It's what I want to do. Trees fell on our church, Westside Missionary Baptist Church, on the doors, on the balcony, and kind of went through the roof. So we could not worship there anymore. Things will get better. Things will get better. We just have to hang together and trust that God will do what he says he's going to do. So prayers go up and trust is there.
My name is Carol DuLabelle. My mom, my godmother, and I were home at the time. We all went into the basement and we just heard that train whistle. We heard rain and then we just heard glass shattering everywhere. My husband and I had to move in with my aunt who lives in Creve Coeur. Our house is still standing, but then driving to North City, St. Louis, there are people out here whose entire livelihood is demolished. They are in tents next to the roof that was over their heads. The adrenaline that you have in like those first couple of weeks finally wears off and you feel like you got hit by a train. I didn't realize how much normalcy I needed until my first In Unison chorus rehearsal after everything happened. It was the first time I could just sit down and breathe. It was an anchor for me that helped give me some sense of peace.
My name is Karen Thomas Stewart. And I'm a member of the In Unison Chorus and have been so for 20 plus years. My son and I were at home and we heard, you know, all the glass shatter and we could feel the wind just going through and we were praying. And we went out and there was just glass and dirt and leaves and dust, you know, just throughout the house. 2 rooms in the back of the house were actually open, like open to the atmosphere. I'm staying in a residence in, and probably will be for a while. Getting back into some singing and some music was very important to me. It kind of helped bring some normalcy back to my life. And at a time like this, there's such a big need for love and for support and for God and just circling people who have great needs. Music lifts the soul. It draws people together. Music is so spiritual, and it really invokes the presence of God.
That was In Unison chorus members Cara DuLabelle, Karen Thomas Stewart, and Gwendolyn Wesley. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin produced that report. It was edited by Tracy Tall. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.